So, sports, anything can inspire poetry. And our friend William Teku, a listener to KAXE, KBXE, and he listens on the sports page, he sent in his poem. It's called Number 20.
Hello, this is William Teku, and this reflection is called Number 20. Playing her guard position, she sometimes dribbles the ball between her legs like a jewel thief eyeing up a vault at midnight before making a right-to-left-to-right scoring move. She keeps the ball in her court. She keeps the ball in her court, even if it means falling out of bounds to keep a play alive, while on her cell phone with friends or family, whom she could fake out and drive around if she really wanted to. Dressed for another kind of game, she fast breaks out the front door on weekends with her friends and sometimes plays a little one-on-one with the boys, who cruise by in fast cars with kick-ass sound systems, buff boys who are as defenseless against her as her out-of-shape dad, with his airballed jokes and oddball stories and standard car speakers. From my seat in the stands, I smile as she makes no-look passes that lead to assist, rebounds against Amazonian girls, and runs plays like she used to run in her sleep when she was in elementary school and dreamed of someday playing high school basketball. Plays she now runs while racing against the tardy bell, between classes, plays she has run during English while laughing at a throwaway Thoreau line. She improvised, like a behind-the-back pass that freezes the defense and goes in for an easy layup. Busted plays she's replayed into the desert darkness for hours on bumpy bus rides home, after a better team handed back her team's head on a platter before halftime. Plays I imagine her making after high school, when she'll play on courts a lot harder than gym floors, courts where most fouls go unwhistled. Yet, players foul out or get benched and grow old without ever getting back into the game. Courts where scoreboards don't flash points for home and visitor. Courts where she'll hear more silence than cheers when she comes through in the clutch against all logic or against what she thought she could do and makes something memorable happen for herself and her friends. Courts without coaches calling in plays at crunch time, where all alone she'll have to go with her gut feeling and walk off as the hero or the goat. Courts that will walk all over her if she lets every heartbreaking double overtime 1-point loss play her like a rookie. Courts with 24/7 cameras that don't roll tape for instructional purposes. Courts blind to blood and sweat and a varsity swagger. Tough-as-nails courts that don't care about timeouts, water breaks, high fives, or hugs for a job well done. Still, hustling on every play, no matter what court she's on down the road, she'll never throw in the towel against the double team of time. Even when the final seconds tick, tick, tick away, she'll post up against the cocky clock and tell it as she makes her fade away, "You got nothing! You got nothing!" "Who's number 20? A woman asked me. "That's my daughter, Katie," I say, and get my head back into the game.
William Teku sending in his poetry today. It's called Number 20. Is it time?
Yeah, but let's get after it. I mean, we've got lots to talk about. Are you kidding me?
And the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. But kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It's time for another edition of the sports page on KAXE KBXE. I'm John Bauer. She's Heidi Holton in her jammies. Fred Friedman's in his jammies, and Kyle Erickson is in his fishing gear. Good morning, everybody.
None of it's true.
Okay, let's get going right away because we want two perspectives, or three if Heidi wants to jump in. Kyle Erickson being the youngster, Fred Friedman being the senior correspondent. What do you guys think about starting the extra innings on second base? Kyle?
I hate it. I hate everything about it. I don't care if games go 15 innings. I like the drama. It's not often that games stretch into extra innings. And I think it's up to the managers to manage their pitching staffs, their bullpens responsibly, if they're worried about them wearing down. I am not opposed to change in baseball. I'm an advocate for an electronic strike zone. I cannot stand starting a runner on second base in extra innings.
Fred?
Despise it. Despise the rule. I think it's a huge mistake. I don't know what it is, but it's not baseball. It's giving yet another advantage to the home team that does not need another advantage. It's completely wrong. It's all about protecting pitching staffs. We've seen bullpens in our lives go from 8 to 9 to 10 to 11 to 12 to 13 people bullpens. I'm against it.
Yep.
And it's cost the Twins a couple of games, one for sure, arguably two. It's changing the rule for no person. Let the team owners sell more beer and popcorn and soda.
No pop. Kidding. This is all about speeding up the game, correct?
Yeah. Yep. Hey, John, how about this? Let's have basketball overtime. Each team gets the ball for one possession.
Yeah, I know. Jeez. It's, you know what this is? This is like myself being a young kid in Cohasset playing baseball with all my buddies, and everybody's mom rings the dinner bell. We go, we got to get out of here quick. Put a guy on second so we can get this thing done. That's exactly what it's like, so we can go home. I don't think it's going to last. I hope it's not going to last. Maybe it won't even last this year.
Sure hope so.
Okay, let's talk about the Twins. They're doing pretty damn good. Fred, you got to believe the pitching's doing good. Relievers are doing pretty damn good.
Pitching's doing better than I was expecting. Pretty excited about that. We got a couple of people that are very effective. I like the where it's been. I think it's time to focus on the two starters that we brought in, the back end of our starting rotation, and Shoemaker and Happ, see if they last. If they can't last, there's a lot of kids that, for a lot less money, that arguably can play. Yeah, I kind of like it. And the games that they lost, they easily could have won, arguably should have won. I'm excited about that. Got to be excited about Byron Buxton hitting the ball, you know, and hitting the ball for power. Whatever. I'm not holding my breath when Josh Donaldson comes back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And sooner or later, guys, sooner or later, the front office have to have the discussion. How many more at-bats are we going to give Miguel Sano?
Yep. I totally agree.
Small sample size caveats apply, obviously, here, but it's been fun to see pretty much all of the offseason moves pan out through the first week of the season. Shoemaker is a talented pitcher. The big knock on him is injuries. He's had a really hard time staying healthy over his career. So we'll see, you know, what does this look like in the middle of June, the middle of July. Maeda and Barrios both look really, really good, which is encouraging. And Fred, I had that same thought about Sano. They've got talent in the minor leagues, And, you know, scouts use a 20 to 80 scale to rate speed, power, throwing, that sort of thing. Miguel Sano is an 80 power tool guy. But if you're striking out in over half of your at-bats, it doesn't matter how hard you hit it.
Yeah,
when all you're connecting with is air, it doesn't matter how strong you are.
I can't.
Especially with men on base, by the way.
Yeah. And he has a big sample size.
Yes.
This is
not a blip for him.
And I love it. Every time he strikes out, he picks his head up, looks at the pitcher, and walks to the dugout. It's got to be grinding on him as well. But, yeah, you got to maybe bench him. I don't know. I mean, he'll go through some streaks, but let's talk about Cruz. I mean, the guy we might want to sign him through till he's 50.
He's amazing.
He is.
He's absolutely amazing. So if you look at the national baseball publications, I mean, they've kind of given up on Sano. They're all excited about Buxton. They rave about Cruz. And the other person they talk about is this. And to me, this is a mystery. What has happened to Mitch Garver?
No kidding.
What is this all about? Here's a guy, everybody, that hit 31 home runs, led baseball in at bats per, you know, home runs per at bats. What is this, a slump? Is he ill? Is he sick? Because you know, if he doesn't come back, you guys know what all the rumors are going to be. You know what they're going to attribute that first year to. So
yeah,
to me, it's a classic case of the league catching up with a hitter and the hitter not adjusting to the adjustments. When Garver was just coming up and he had a lot of success, teams were figuring out how to pitch him, and he got a lot of fastballs on the inner half of the plate. And just like Brian Dozier was in his heyday, Garver is great at tucking the hands in and turning on those. And a lot like Miguel Sano now, Mitch Garver is seeing a steady diet of slider away, slider away, slider away, and he hasn't adjusted to it. He hasn't learned to either just lay off those pitches or to take them to right field. And unless he makes those adjustments, I think he's going to be in for a rough time.
So
I'm just saying the difference between how he played that first full year he played in the last 2 years, it's been remarkable. 31 home runs is no joke.
Yeah, you know? That is some serious business. Now, Kyle, earlier you alluded to not having a problem with the umpire strike zone being electronic. Did you see our buddy, is it Hernandez, the ref?
Angel Hernandez.
And did you see how many mistakes he made on pitch? Did you see that? Oh, my gosh.
Not only is he horrible, everybody knows he's horrible. Just hit him up on Google and read the articles about him.
If you haven't seen it, just go online. And he had made 27 bad strike calls or something, or not calls. It was absolutely amazing. Yeah. I don't know how it's
heartening that one or two levels of the minor leagues are trial. You know, they're testing out an electronic strike zone this year.
Oh, so they are.
Yep. They're giving it some run there, and they'll gauge how effective, how accurate the technology is. And I'm really hopeful we'll see it in the big leagues within 5 years, which seems like an eternity if you're watching a game that Hernandez or Laz Diaz or somebody is umpiring. But better late than never.
Hey, let's move on a little bit to the Gophers men's basketball team, whose the whole ship is abandoned except for maybe one player. Yeah, they got a new coach, Ben Johnson, and this portal stuff and leaving whenever you want has really become a challenge. It's day to day. Fred?
And it's definitely reducing interest in college basketball.
Yeah.
That's just a fact, right?
Yep.
I mean, The charm of college basketball is you can follow kids from 18 to 22. That's just the truth, all right? And now when everybody can leave, bounce around, I'm unhappy, I don't like this, I don't like that, it's the very opposite of improvement and loyalty to a place. I get it if you're not playing. Everybody understands that.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about that, are we? You know what I mean? We're talking about people that are playing. So the only reason, as far as I'm concerned, to leave is if you got a personal problem with the coach, you're not playing, or you believe your program has no chance of winning. And kids want to win. You know what I'm saying? Kids want to win. Carr Carr can play in most everywhere in America with 1 year left. You talk about, that's like a used car with no miles on it on the lot that everybody wants, you know?
Yeah. And Heidi.
I agree with some of that, Fred, but, you know, coaches can walk away at any point, right? They can jump ship. They can change school.
Absolutely.
And even though I agree that erodes some of the, you know, some of the fun of following a player through, well, it used to be 4 years of school. Now it's often just one or two. I absolutely think that it's the right thing to do for students to allow them to make that choice. And if they want to change institutions for their education, for their athletic career, I think they should be able to do it, even though, you know, I hope it doesn't happen as often as it has recently. I think it's the right move.
I want to move on.
I want to make myself just a little clear. I support their right to do it. Of course they have the right. Yeah. I'm saying it's not good for college basketball. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, we got to move on, but I want a vote from each of you. Should the Timberwolves take Jalen Suggs if they have the first draft? Kyle?
Yes. Yes.
Preds? Yes, too.
Yes.
Okay.
I was a Cade Cunningham guy up until about 2 months ago. He's the point guard for Oklahoma State. But Jalen Suggs, a Minnesota boy, has played so well the last couple of months. And seeing him, and it's not just the miraculous shot that ended the best college basketball game I've ever seen in my life that tipped the scales. He can handle the ball. He can pass the ball. He can score. He can get to the rim. He can defend.
He's smart.
Point guard is the Timberwolves' biggest position of need.
Yeah, I agree. John, we should take a little mention just for a second how the national championship game was a blowout. Baylor looked tremendous playing with three guards, none of them particularly large. Baylor's easy to root against. As people who read the sports page every know in the last 10 years, they've had four serious scandals. I'm not talking about minor scandals. Serious scandals, and somehow they were able to get back, and almost everybody on that team transferred in from somewhere else. Yep. One of the starters is not a transfer.
Yeah.
So also, they dominated that game.
Also, Heidi, did you watch Paige play in the national championship game?
Yes, I did.
Semifinals.
Yeah. I couldn't sleep. I was so upset that Ariyama lost. I just felt so bad for him. It was unbelievable. I mean, you know, whatever.
If you noticed, John, the refereeing in those games was not particularly good.
Yeah.
In the women's tournament.
Wait a minute. We got to talk to Heidi. Hi, did you watch it, Heidi? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, she did. She did good. She did good. She did very good. She's player of the year, isn't she?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's move on because we got trivia, right, Heidi?
Wait, but we got Kyle first. Kyle, what were you going to say?
I was just saying, Paige Beckers was the first freshman ever to win Player of the Year.
Yeah,
in the women's side, and I, you know, the officiating wasn't great in the women's championship. I want to call out though that in that Gonzaga UCLA game, that was one of the best officiated games I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, you didn't even know the refs were there. Yeah, you didn't even know they were there. Jump quickly. We got to talk about the Wild. They're playing very, very well, Fred. I know you're not a Wild hockey fan, but you got to watch this Kaprizov. He's a freak. Yeah. Did you see that shot? I don't know if you saw that shot last night that he got off on a pass.
I saw the replay. He's a heck of an athlete.
Oh, my gosh. So they're doing good. The Masters starts today. It's the time of the year. Big matchup is Phil Mickelson paired with Bryson DeChambeau. Talk about a couple of egos right there. Whew. Okay. And then one more thing failed to mention is the NCAA Frozen Four has three Minnesota teams. University of Minnesota, Minnesota State, and St. Cloud.
So, not Minnesota, University of Minnesota Duluth.
Minnesota Duluth. And we could have had Bemidji State in there too, but three out of four ain't bad. Okay, Heidi, hit us in the
mouth. One real quick note on that front. Minnesota's Mr. Hockey is from Grand Rapids, in KAXC land, and he has committed to St. Cloud State, I believe.
I have some very close friends who are high-ranking hockey players and coaches. And we were golfing the other day, and one of them said that he could start in the NHL right now and be as good as anybody.
Let me point out that last spring's Hobie Baker Winner Award winner from Hibbing, Scott Perunovich, and this year's Mr. Hockey are both from KAXE supporting families, Hibbing and Grand Rapids.
Nice, nice. They understand. Heidi, what's the theme?
Well, first, I just want to mention that game that you were mentioning, the NCAA Frozen Four. St. Cloud State plays Mankato today, and then the finals are this Saturday. So you should check that out. Here's your theme.
Oh, both semifinalists are today. The second one, too, UMass against UMD. Okay. They're both today. UMD does exist. That is part of KAXE Lab. You know.
All right. So the theme for today's firsts, as in Willie O'Ree was the first black player in the National Hockey League. On April 6th of 1973, who became the first designated hitter to hit a home run in a major league game? Oof. It was a two-run first inning homer off Catfish Hunter in an 8-3 win over Oakland.
That was the Twins' Tony Oliva, wasn't it?
Yes.
Whoa.
Who was the first black tennis player to win both Wimbledon and the U.S. Open tournaments?
Althea Gibson.
That's right. She accomplished it twice in 57 and 58. What Hungarian-born player was the first soccer-style kicker in the NFL?
Daro Yeprimian.
Yeah. No?
No?
Oh.
One of the Gogolak brothers?
Yes. Pete Gogolak. Oh.
Pete Gogolak. Wasn't there an Ed Gogolak, too, or something?
There was a couple of them.
Yeah.
Very good,
Fred. In 1911, Sir Barton was the first to accomplish what athletic feat?
Swim the English Channel.
Nope.
Sarah Barton.
Sir. Sir Barton.
Sir Barton.
Sounds like a racehorse name. Is it something horse racing related? Triple Crown?
Yep.
Won wow. The Triple Crown. Nice job. Oh, wow.
I didn't
that was a shot in the dark.
A hint there. In 2016, what current Twins player hit a home run in his first major league game? He did it in the game between the Dodgers
Rosario?
And the Padres.
Rosario?
Eddie Rosario?
In what year?
16. Is that Rosario?
Nope.
No.
Dodgers.
I don't know.
KM are the initials.
Oh, Kenta Maeda.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
That's a tricky one.
What? Say that
when he pitched for the Dodgers, pitchers hit in the National League, of course, he hit a home run. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Let's see. Who was the first black head coach in the National Football League?
Oh, that's back in the 1920s or 30s.
Really?
Give me the initials.
Is it in the 20s and 30s, Heidi? Okay.
Nope.
It's not.
No. No, it's more recent.
Yeah, much more recent. I gotta think about this.
First black head coach in the National Football League.
Initial
AS.
It's terrible we don't know this. Terrible.
His hint, he coached the Los Angeles Raiders starting in 1990.
Oh, Art Shell?
Art Shell.
Yes, Art Shell. There you go. In 2012, investor and philanthropist Darla Moore was one of two women to be the first admitted as members to Augusta National Golf Club. Who was the other woman?
Secretary of State Rice.
Yes. Condoleezza.
Last December 30th, Becky Hammon became the first woman to do what?
Coach an NBA basketball team.
Yes. Oh, she took over in the second quarter after San Antonio Spurs coach
Paul. Got booted.
Popovich was ejected. Okay, here's your extra credit. The longest tenured coach in the history of Gopher Athletics, Terry Ganley, announced her retirement after 44 seasons leading University of Minnesota teams in what sport?
Swimming.
Swimming, yep.
Swimming and diving.
Hey, yep. I'd just like to go back to that Hammond thing. Can you imagine Popovich getting tossed? I guess he looked at her and said, you got it now.
I know. That's what happened.
Is that it, Heidi?
That's it. That's it.
A lot of firsts. A lot of firsts. Who's going to win the Masters, Kyle?
Oh, man, I don't follow
golf.
Well,
come
anymore.
On. You're a golfer. You got to have some sort of.
I used to be a golfer.
Some trend of thought.
I will take the field over Bryson DeChambeau. I know that. He's wild.
Fred?
Wild driving.
How do I pronounce his name? John Spieth? It's S-P-E.
Jordan Spieth. Yeah, he's hot. But he's, yeah. I like it. I don't even. I think Rahm might win it.
Is Jose Maria Olazabal still in the field?
No.
Well, he
can, I know.
He plays. Yeah, he's in the field.
Does he still play?
Oh, sure. You get a lifetime. You can play lifetime if you're a winner of the Masters. Gary Player has proven that with shooting like a 98 last time he, last time he played. Okay, this round's over. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
Find your umbrellas. Get outside.
Have a good one. All right. Stay well.